Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today as we take a look at the book, Am I Too Old to Save the Planet? A Boomer's Guide to Climate Action. We're going to have some fun talking with the author of that book in just a minute, but we are in our year end and member drive here in Wisconsin Public Radio. And your financial support, it's the foundation for all the great talks you enjoy here every day, and I hope you'll make your tax-deductible year-end gift right now for 2023. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And today I'm joined by the host of Simply Folk, Sheila Shigley. Sheila, welcome.
Good morning, Larry. So good to be with you.
I'm sure we have a goal.
We do have a goal. It's a secret goal, but I'm going to let everybody listening in on the secret. We are looking for 15 people to join in with a gift this hour. It can be any size. These goals are set up to make sure that WPR has the money to pay for our news, talk, shows like the Larry Mueller Show, and all the music that you love and rely on.
And let's meet that goal. It happens one gift at a time, and let's start with yours at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
And those federal and state tax dollars, which do also come from listeners like you one way or another, provide really important funding for all the programs here at WPR. But it is the voluntary listener contributions that are actually the biggest piece of support for WPR.
So you make the difference. You make the quality, the variety, and independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. And because WPR matters to you, I hope you'll make a personal contribution for the service that you value at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe think back to when you first discovered WPR. Maybe your parents had it on in the car. Maybe a friend recommended all of the news and interesting discussions. Or maybe you were just kind of trolling the dial. No matter how you first found WPR, now you are hooked.
And whether it's been years or just a few months since you found us, your contribution of say $10 a month, $120, it will support the quality program that you've valued since the first time you listened. So be a part of making WPR possible. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because it's one of the best mixes that I can find of both highly entertaining and highly useful and informative information. Wisconsin Public Radio really has a great variety in the type of programs they put on. It's very difficult to get bored of listening to WPR. I only used to listen to public radio in the car. I've recently started listening to public radio on online streaming. The variety and quality of the broadcasts are really enough to keep someone, you know, tuning back in for more time and time again. I'm Ben Martin from Minnesota, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for variety and entertainment.
Ben, thank you very much. What about you? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our year-end member drive. Larry Mueller here with Sheila Shigley. WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support. And your contribution might be $10 a month, could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, it makes a difference for our entire community.
And we know that just like we do, you value your time. It's getting harder and harder to find time in this world. Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes literally just a few minutes. Just give us your name, contact info, how much you'd like to donate, and how you'd like to pay, and that's it.
Very quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take a couple of minutes to support the station you count on. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And our secret and not-so-secret goal again this hour is 15 gifts. That means 15 callers, or I suppose one person could make 15 separate gifts. Really, as long as we get those 15 gifts, it doesn't matter how small, how large. You know, people have actually done that. They've called back and made an extra for that extra thank you gift. Now that I've let you in on that little trick, the goal is really important. It's kind of carefully calculated for each hour of programming to make sure we have have enough money to keep that programming going. So give now. You can do it online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just yesterday, I made an additional gift, which I talk myself into every single drive. Oh, my goodness. One of the cool things about today, though, is that you can also choose the food bank gift when you give $10 a month or more, and we'll provide meals for those in need in your area where you live. So make a donation now, and you'll get the benefit of that. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up. You can do it online at WPR.org, or if you'd like somebody to walk you through it, 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love.
Nancy in Dodgeville sent a nice note. She says, through the years, WPR has always been there with information, laughs, and respect for its listeners. I would agree with that. I hope you'll join Nancy with your gift. It's powerful, really makes a difference, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you very much for that. As we turn our attention to the book we're going to talk about today, it's a dandy. It's titled, Am I Too Old to Save the Planet? Subtitle, A Boomer's Guide to Climate Action. And our guest is the author of the book, climate activist Lawrence McDonald. He's a former foreign correspondent, vice president of the World Resources Institute. And as we talk with him today, I hope you'll join in. Tell us how much you think about climate change. When you talk with your friends, what do you say about climate change? What are you doing to shrink your carbon footprint? Well, we've got lots of advice in that area, and I hope you join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234. Or if you'd like, you could send an email. The email address, ideas@WPR.org. ideas@WPR.org. Lawrence McDonald, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Larry, thanks for having me on the show. And I just want to say right at the top that I'm a big fan of public radio, and you convinced me as soon as this interview is over, I'm going to make a gift to WPR. So you needed 15 gifts, now you only need 14.
Lawrence, thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. And I really enjoyed your book. How can I put that? What can a reader learn when they pick up a copy of Am I Too Old to Save the Planet? Your mind.
Well, Larry, I wrote this book because I'm right in the middle of the boomer generation. I was born in 1954. A lot of your listeners are probably boomers as well. They know that our generation born from 1946 to 1963 was called the most promising generation. And we turned out in the millions. For the first Earth Day, we organized to end the war in Vietnam. We were active in the civil rights movement, the women's rights movement, the gay rights movement. But when it came to climate change, we dropped the ball. And I'm calling on my readers to reconnect with their youthful ideals. Polling shows that older voters are second only to younger voters in our level of concern about climate change. So I offer people a series of checklists as to how they can get involved and what they can do.
Yeah, it's a wonderful blueprint, but it's very entertaining too. It was entertaining to read, I've seen some blueprint type books that aren't nearly as entertaining to read. So thank you for that very much. And it's easy to get down about a problem like as large as climate change, I think. And maybe talk about your approach to writing the book so that the tone wasn't too pessimistic or confrontational, for that matter.
Well, thank you for those very kind comments. And I tried hard because I know that climate change can be a very discouraging and dire product. And Catherine Hayhoe, known to many of your listeners, famously both a climate scientist and an evangelical Christian, she says the one superpower we all have that we're not using is to talk about it. A lot of people know that it's a big problem, but they're afraid to talk about it. And so I tried to model that tone to say, it's not too scary to talk about. We can find ways to talk about this, and we can find ways to make a difference.
If you it was really interesting. The first section of your book was really interesting to me because, as you say, the boomers were, kind of front and center for a lot of things like Earth Day, you describe in the book how the boomer generation might have kind of fallen away from that. Talk a bit about that.
Well, I think there are a few things at work. One is, it became a problem at the stage when we were moving from our youthful idealism into building our careers and buying homes and buying our cars and raising our children. So we were not in that youthful rebellious stage. The other thing is that the fossil fuel companies lied to us. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars to persuade Americans that it's not a problem. And if it is a problem, it's not caused by human activities. And if it is caused by human activities, it won't really come to roost for a long time. And they're still at it, trying to deceive us. So we were easily distracted. But there's a third thing I mentioned in the book, which is there were some elements in boomer culture. And I'm part of that culture, I wonder if any of your listeners remember the phrase, be here now, Baba Ram Dass. Well, be here now is kind of the opposite of worrying about climate change. That happens in the future. Don't trust anyone over 30 led to a kind of distrust of experts that I think we're currently seeing in elements of the boomer generation, distrusting things like, public health advice about vaccines. So there was a kind of there was an element to boomer culture that made us very susceptible to being distracted and caring more about our personal lives than we did about the welfare of society. And because the United States is the largest cumulative emitter, many people think China is the biggest emitter, but it's the excess carbon in the atmosphere now that is cooking the planet, and the largest single share of that came from the United States. So our failure to act had global implications.
Yeah, and I was even thinking about the research that was done. As you point out, a lot of the research, by the time it gets published, it's even worse than sometimes the research shows, just because of the publication time.
That's absolutely right. Some of your listeners will be familiar with something called the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Most people don't really understand how it works. And in my book, I describe that it's a hybrid organization. It's the world's largest peer-reviewed scientific organization, but it's also an intergovernmental organization. So when we see a newspaper headline that says, new UN report warns that we only have 10 years to avoid the worst consequences of climate change, the summary, which is what everybody reads, has been scrubbed by the member governments, and that includes big fossil fuel producers like the United States, Saudi Arabia, and Russia. So the scientists are in a very difficult position, and they aren't accustomed to using very emotional language. So they'll say high probability and things like that, that a lot of people, frankly, don't understand.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And yet here we sit with the boomers controlling, I think you said 70% our wealth, U.S. wealth.
Yeah, the numbers are actually easy to remember. There are 70 million of us, 70 million boomers, and we do control 70% of the country's wealth. And there's a section in the book that describes one of the most easiest things we can do is to move our money, to take it out of the big banks that are insisting on investing in new fossil fuel projects, put it in a local Wisconsin credit union instead, or find an investment vehicle that does not invest in fossil fuels. If enough boomers moved our money, we could make a big difference.
Lawrence McDonald, our guest today, his book, Am I Too Old to Save the Planet? A Boomer's Guide to Climate Action. And you can join in. Number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Here we are in our year-end member drive for Wisconsin Public Radio, and Sheila Shigley has come racing into the room to talk with us about Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, you count on WPR for in-depth discussion, and it's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. And your gift right now really makes a big difference both this year and as we head into 2024 at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we have a goal.
We do have a goal, and we do race towards that goal. Larry and I are old enough to remember when we used to actually race down the halls with messages and real phones were ringing. And at any rate, they're ringing somewhere, and thank you for that. We have a goal of 15 gifts this hour. We have about another just over half an hour left to get it. And thank you so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't given, do it right now. Join in at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your gift makes this program, the news, all the other talk and music you value possible.
Whether you've never given to WPR before, or maybe you're a current member who's happy to make an extra gift, we would love to hear from you during this year-end member drive.
Member drives are an important time to raise the money that pays for the programs, the quality, the variety here on WPR, and that means your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And there are a lot of ways to give. The easiest way to make sure that your support is always current is to become what you by now know is called a sustainer. That means that your monthly gift, whether it's $10 a month, $100 a month, any amount you choose, continues month after month, year after year. And I also always like to point out that you're in charge. You can stop, start, raise, lower with a few clicks all on your own. So don't worry that you're getting sucked into anything you can't easily get out of. Get started right now. It feels great. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This season, your gift to WPR can also provide meals to families in your community. Give $10 or $20 a month to support your favorite WPR programs and ask for one of the Food Bank thank you gifts. When you do, your gift will have twice the impact for WPR programs and families facing hunger in your area. Give now. Here's how.
You can give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Sheila Shigley. And listener support's our biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it really does have an important impact.
And the news never stops. We know you rely on the high-quality coverage you get from Wisconsin Public Radio to stay informed. And that's why your gift during our year-end member drive is so important.
So please support your source for news and analysis as we head into the new year by making your year-end gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're thinking, I can't donate enough to make a difference, think again. You can give $10 a month and provide world-class journalism and music, thought-provoking conversations on and on for yourself and for your entire community.
Your gift really does make a difference. Give now $10 a month or whatever amount is right for you. Every gift is important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And our goal this hour is still 15 gifts. Thank you so much if you've already made those phones ring. If you haven't, join in now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And it is you who make WPR possible when you give.
And today you can choose the food bank gift when you give $10 a month or more, and you'll provide meals for those in need for your specific area of the state. I love this option that people have. Make a donation right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member already, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount works for you. You can do it yourself in just a few clicks at WPR.org, or if you'd like somebody to walk you through the process, call 888-202-2552.
Oh, look what Heidi said.
Aw. Heidi says she's in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida. Thank you, Heidi. She says, I love listening to Larry. I think that says it all.
Well, Heidi, thank you so much. What about you? Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Are you too old to save the planet? I don't think so. The book we're talking about today with Lawrence McDonald, the author, is Am I Too Old to Save the Planet? A Boomer's Guide to Climate Action. Hope you'll join in with your questions or comments about what you're doing or maybe thoughts about some of the problems that exist out there. Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org. We heard from Vern in Eau Claire County. Carl couldn't stay with us. He says that no one is talking about airplanes. They're definitely a large producer of greenhouse gases. And certainly, Lawrence, you address that in your book. And some of the angst sometimes that comes along with getting on a plane.
Absolutely. Thanks to Vern for writing in. Aviation is only about 2 or 3% of global emissions, but for most of us, getting on an airplane is the highest emitting activity that we will ever do. And only about 10 or 15% of the world ever gets on a flight at all. So it's really a luxury activity. I personally have cut back on my flying, but I also argue in the book that personal action and even the idea of carbon footprint is really designed by the oil industry to distract us from the need for rapid change in the system. So if you can avoid flying, please do. But even if you still feel that you need to or want to fly, you can still make a big difference by pushing our leaders and our elected representatives to act. And Larry, I don't want to talk too long, but if in a follow-up, I want to tell you the story about a Madison resident, Madeline Parra, who became a national leader in the movement for climate action.
Talk about Madeline.
Perhaps you know Madeline. She was a volunteer who founded a chapter of a group called Citizens Climate Lobby, or CCL, in Madison. And one of the things, and I write about CCL in my book, is a lot of people think, well, I don't want to be a climate activist because I don't like shouting and waving signs. And if we think about Midwestern nice, maybe at least the stereotype is people in the Midwest don't want to be confrontational. But CCL is a great fit for people who want to have thoughtful, informed conversations. They're one of the largest environmental groups in the country that people have maybe never heard of. They try and have a citizen lobbyist assigned to every member of Congress, regardless of party. And Madeline went from being the founder of a CCL chapter in Madison to becoming the executive director of CCL. I had the opportunity to meet her and present her with a copy of my book when they held their national conference here in Washington, D.C. So there are many ways to get involved. One of my messages is use national groups like CCL or Third Act, founded by Bill McKibben, to find local connections. Because as you mentioned at the start, Larry, climate change can be very, very depressing. And the antidote to that sadness is making friends and working with other people.
Yeah, good, very good points. Marlene in Marshfield has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Marlene.
Hello. I just wanted to make the comment. I know everyone like myself feels frustrated that they can't be doing more, but so many of us could do some little things. I've heard that just if everyone had a 5-mile-a-week reduction in their driving, that it would have some significant effects. So that's all I wanted to comment about that.
Well, Marlene, thank you so much. And you might talk about that specific point that Marlene raised, but you outline 6 ways people can take action right now, and driving is one of them, at least what you drive. But talk about that a bit, Lawrence.
Well, thanks, Marlene, for calling in. And yeah, it's true. By reducing the amount that we drive, we not only reduce emissions, we reduce all the other negative impacts. My list, Larry, of the six things is stop wasting food and eat less meat, because that can both save us money, and meat is a major source of emissions. To Marlene's point, drive less, walk, bike, and take public transport more. Move your money out of fossil fuel investments, upgrade your car to an EV, install rooftop solar or participate in a community solar program, and fly less or not at all. These are all things I did in the year it took me to write the book. I've been thinking about some of them for a while. Some of them actually save you money. A few of them cost some money, but over time, especially with the new incentives from the Inflation Reduction Act, installing rooftop solar or installing a heat pump. The heat pumps are much better now. They actually work even in cold climes like Wisconsin. These are good things to do. But my main point there, Madeline, is don't get stuck at personal action. Every one of us can do some of these personal actions, but also find a way to participate with others. Because as I say in the beginning of the book, journalists are reluctant and scientists are reluctant to use language that's going to scare people. So they say things like avoiding the worst impacts of climate change. But when we say avoiding the worst impacts of climate change, what we really mean is keeping temperatures low enough that people will still be able to raise food in India. Keeping temperatures low enough that we don't get a meter of sea level rise in the next two or three decades. So we're right at the brink. Last year was the hottest year on record. It's the next year will almost certainly be hotter than that. The time is very short, and the personal action, if it was ever sufficient, is no longer enough. So by all means, drive less. God bless you. Ride your bike. That's a good idea. But also reach out, find a group that suits you and your skills, and work for rapid systemic change. That's what we boomers did in our youth, with the first Earth Day and our organizing in opposition to the war in Vietnam, the women's rights movement, and that's what we are called upon to do now.
Marlene, thank you again for calling. Appreciate it. And you can join in too. The number is 800-642-1234. You can email us the email address, ideas@WPR.org. We'd certainly love to hear from you. You give us a lot of information in the book about organizations and working with others. And you use the term, here's another one, you use climate boomer, which I kind of liked. But it's not one we hear very often, that's for sure. How do you see this demographic shifting the narrative, you know, you were talking about, from predominantly youth-led climate activism to the boomers taking a bigger role?
Well, Larry, I'm glad you like that term, climate boomer. I coined it, and I went out and I booked the URL and the Twitter handle and various other things because I'm a climate boomer. But I end the book encouraging us all to be climate boomers because as older Americans, we care about the world that we're leaving to the next generation. Those of us who are blessed to have children care about them and their children. And even those of us who don't have children, many of the elders I know in the climate movement who are most passionate about it, they personally don't have children, but they have nieces and nephews, and they care about the future life that those people are going to have. So that's why I want people to be climate boomers. The other thing I think I mentioned is that there's a new poll out by the Environmental Voter Project that shows that after youth voters, those 35 and younger, the demographic that cares most about climate and considers it a priority are those of us who are 65 and older. And I see this in my own climate organizing in action. I live near Washington, D.C., so I have lots of opportunity to participate in and sometimes organize climate protests. And what I see out there are young people who are scared to death and old people who share their concern and are supporting them. So it's kind of a sandwich between the old and the young, and these multi-generational alliances can be very powerful and rewarding. I enjoy hanging out with young people. Who doesn't if you're an old person? And some of them have been very generous to welcome me and other elders into their actions.
Gene in Menominee, we'll give you a chance to join in. Gene, what's on your mind?
I was wondering if the author had embraced rotational grazing as a way to build the soil, capture carbon, and make food, i.e. meat, as per Randy Johnson at the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah. Lawrence, comment.
Gene, I think rotational grazing is a really smart idea. I don't get into it in the book, partly because the number of my readers who are likely to be in a position to implement it is going to be small. You've got to be in the meat business, but certainly changing the way that we not only raise meat, but also grow other crops. There's a new report out by the Department of Energy just this week that provides a detailed analysis of changes that can be made to capture more carbon. And if you haven't seen it, Gene, you might be interested. They actually go down to county level with their data. And depending on the geographical characteristics of the county, it might be rotational grazing. It might be, you know, carbon capture and sequestration where you pump it into the rock. But if you look at that report at the Department of Energy, you'll be able to see what they are recommending, the costs and benefits of carbon capture in where you're located. And if there's a lot of meat production going on there, I suspect rotational grazing is going to be high on their list.
Gene, thank you again for calling. Appreciate it. Our guest today, Lawrence McDonald, the book that he has written and we're talking about today is Am I Too Old to Save the Planet? A Boomer's Guide to Climate Action. What suggestions, questions do you have? Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Sheila Shigley's not old enough to be a boomer, I don't think, but she came rolling into the studio to talk about our year-end member drive and to help me tell you that your support is vital to all the news, talk, and entertainment on WPR. It's the largest source of our funding. Just take you a couple of minutes to support the essential services you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe I'm an honorary boomer. Does that get me anything?
Yeah, well, you know, you don't have to be a boomer, really, to like Lawrence's book.
True.
Because
that.
I think what he talks about in there, any of us can use.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. I'm really enjoying this morning, and I know you folks out there listening are enjoying it, too. That's why you're still tuned in. We want to tell you really briefly about the member drive we have going on right now. It's what keeps things cranking here at WPR. This hour, we have a goal of 15 gifts. Thank you so very much if you've already given. If you haven't, now's the time. Help ensure you and your community have access to fascinating programs like this morning's discussion about being too old to save the planet or really not being too old to save the planet. You can join in at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I've been looking forward to talking with Lawrence about his book. And he really provides a blueprint about what you and I can do in our own way and by working with others to save the planet. And it's something I think there's probably not a listener listening who would disagree with this need, and whether you're conservative or you're liberal or you're somewhere in the middle, I think most of us are worried about the environment. And I think this kind of program is unique to public radio. Here we are, we're listener-supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, you make this program and you make the many more programs possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you, take a couple of minutes, and then make your gift.
And as the donor, you get to decide how much to give. Maybe it's $100 or $200 a month that is the right amount for your budget.
Might be what you spend every month on takeout or entertainment, for example. Things you enjoy and that make life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing, though, is that you decide what amount is right for you, and then you go ahead and make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm Eve Robillard. I've been a sustaining member for a long, long, long time, at least 30 years. I grew up in Kewaunee, Wisconsin, and I can remember in 1955, I was in eighth grade, and there was a program from Wisconsin School of the Air that our teacher would nicely put on, and it was called Let's Write.
The recorded Wisconsin School of the Air feature Let's Write. Here's Marie Applegate.
Good morning, boys and girls. Today is Cat Day. Well, you might say today that cats are our purpose. You'll pardon the pun, won't you?
And I got to write a few poems or something. And I still do that once in a while today.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org to get started now.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Sheila Shigley. Your support during this drive makes the news, the talk, and music you enjoy possible. And your gift, maybe it's $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Maybe it's time to bring back Let's Write, Larry. I think, you know, modern kids might really flash on an actual radio. It'd be like a newfangled device for them, really. I don't know. We'll see what management says about that. But back to the topic of the moment. If you're already, say, a sustaining member of WPR, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. It is your ongoing monthly contributions that provide a reliable stream of funding for the programs you love and enjoy.
And as you reflect on the things that have added value to your life this year, maybe take the opportunity to increase your monthly support by a few bucks a month. Happy to help you with that. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And our goal is 15 gifts. We have just over 15 minutes left to reach that goal. It's an important goal set to make sure we have the funding for high quality and fascinating programs that keep you informed and inspired. So give now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
And I did want to mention once again this food bank opportunity. You can choose the food bank gift when you give. You can also choose it when you give $10 a month or more, and you'll be providing meals for those in need in your area of the state. So make a donation right now and go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to do just that.
And while you're at the website, if you're not already a sustainer, you can become one in a few clicks. It's very easy to set up. It means you'll be making ongoing monthly donations from either your bank account or your credit card. Again, you can do it at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552, and you'll be providing very reliable support for the programs you love.
You see what Louise said?
Louise in Wauwatosa says, I appreciate Larry and every other guest who gives interesting and reliable information. Thank you, Louise.
Yeah, thanks, Louise. Join Louise with your gift. It's powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. Talking with Lawrence McDonald on the show today. Lawrence authored the book, Am I Too Old to Save the Planet? A Boomer's Guide to Climate Action. Interesting book, and I hope you'll join in. I hope you get a chance to read it, and I hope you'll join in with your questions as we move along today. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Or email us to ideas@wpr.org. What suggestions do you have? Do you consider yourself a climate activist? Join in. Jeff in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Larry. I just want to show that people who are kind of common people with average incomes can do a lot. I have two grandkids. I'm a boomer. I'm just about 75. And I think it's important to lead by example to help protect the climate that our grandchildren will inherit. One of the things that your guest mentioned is working with other people. I do that. I'm not that social of a person, but I do work a little bit with people in our bicycle advocacy community here in Madison. We have a great one. Other communities are doing similar things. And to that extent, I ride my bike every week of the year, all winter long. Not every day in the winter. Certainly, it gets kind of cold sometimes. But I'm surprised, especially in good weather, that more people don't ride bikes to farmers markets, to shopping malls and things. I do that routinely. Been riding since I was 4 years old and never drove myself to work except one day. My wife drove me. I had just had knee surgery, and I couldn't bend my knee enough to get on the bus in the wintertime. Anyway, we've also put solar panels on our house, and we support community solar. One thing that the guest hasn't mentioned yet, I don't know, it doesn't have a huge impact, but it amuses my wife. I wash all our plastic bags when we use them, hang them up to dry, and keep using them until they wear out for when we bake bread and all that kind of stuff. Another thing, when I was almost 35 years old, by the time I had an income enough to invest in anything, but I went right away to social investment funds. There's a lot of good ones that help reduce climate impacts. I also delayed having children, not so much voluntarily, but I worked for a long time when I was young in remote areas, and there weren't a lot of eligible women to meet. But I was 39 when we had our first child, and that over many generations will help reduce our human population.
Jeff, thank you so much for calling in. Lawrence, there's a lot there to comment on, I think, from Jeff's very eloquent call.
Well, Jeff, you've done most of the things that are on my list of personal actions, and you're right. Taking these actions, I agree with everything that you did. I've done many of those things myself. I would say that I would urge you and others to think about how we can go a little bit beyond that. One of the things that we say in the movement to each other is move out of your comfort zone. And Jeff, perhaps you're already well out of your comfort zone in doing those things. But I find I need to challenge myself to do things that I'm not entirely comfortable with, because the nature of the emergency is so big that stretching just a little bit can be helpful. And one example of a stretch I would throw out there is many of your listeners, Larry, will be familiar with Bill McKibben. He's perhaps the country's best known climate leader. He founded a group, Third Act, designed for people who are in their third act of their lives. And it has two goals, protecting democracy and protecting the planet. And if you go to the thirdact.org website and sign up, you will begin to receive this fabulous writing from Bill. He manages to stay abreast of everything that's going on and often link it to things that people can do. Tomorrow, Bill is teaching the first of a three-part course on nonviolent civil disobedience. You don't have to agree to get arrested or risk arrest to go take the course and learn about it, but I think that he recognizes that many in our generation did participate in nonviolent civil disobedience in our youth, and a growing number of elders are prepared to risk arrest in order to draw attention to the problem. So if there are readers out there who are interested in that, I urge you to go to thirdact.org and both sign up, join. Doesn't cost anything to join. Put in your email and register for tomorrow's teach-in from Bill McKibben. He's taught this course at Middlebury, and now he's teaching it to elders. It should be very interesting.
Thank you again for that call. Karen in Madison, your turn. Hi, Karen.
Yes, I am, Larry. I just wanted to say, I just appreciate the call, the last caller, and also the response. I was an activist myself in my youth quite a bit, and I've tried to remain so here around the F-35s and around women's issues and all of the things currently happening. But I'm calling because I have a great deal of guilt about the fact that I have to go to either coast to see two grandchildren on one coast and two grandchildren on the other, both who are very young, and the parents need help sitting for them from time to time. So I just wanted to, if the guest could address that. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Karen. I think, you know, flying to see our loved ones is probably the best use of flying that there is. You know, you're not like some of my friends and neighbors, you know, jumping on a plane to go spend a weekend in Paris on a whim. So set aside that guilt. You know, these are your grandchildren. You love them. Their parents need you there. You should do this. And then look for other ways that you can be meaningful. And it sounds like you're already doing quite a number of those things. But in the book I do describe, there's something called offsets for when you fly. It's about $17 a ton. Interestingly, the CEO of United has said the same thing what some climate activists say, that these offsets are like selling indulgences. They make you feel better, but they don't really offset the carbon. And United has said their goal is emissions-free flying through through biofuels. I don't think there's a good solution. You know, being in the middle of the country and having family on both sides of the country, you've probably done this already, but you might look at the train. I have friends who take the train from the East Coast to the West. I'm getting ready to do a book tour in the West Coast in March. And I'm seriously looking at the train. I'm retired. I've got the time. It's pleasant. And that obviously is a lower emissions thing. But if you have to fly to see those grandbabies, get on that plane in good conscience and do that. And then compensate in other ways, Karen.
Lawrence, a great response to that. Lawrence McDonald, our guest. Am I Too Old to Save the Planet? The title of his book. And it's great to have him on during our Wisconsin Public Radio member drive. Here's the year-end drive. And think about how much you've learned from and just today's program. And think about how much you've enjoyed WPR programs this past year. 2024 is right around the corner. I hope you'll take some action and give the public media service you rely on a strong start in a new year at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552. Sheila Shigley is back, and what's that goal again?
That goal is 15 gifts. I almost don't want to tear myself away from the guest here, but I guess that's how we keep good guests on the air, so we have to take a moment here to thank you if you have already given.
And if you haven't, join right now. Join in at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your gift makes programs like this one and all the talk and news and music that you value possible.
And we've been listening to great and gripping advice on how to save the planet. I think that's what makes it so hard for us to think of what to do. We just sort of freeze up because we don't have any kind of really specific, gritty advice on how to do it. Sometimes it's the little things from what we're hearing today. Those little things can really add up to make a very deep impact, kind of like giving to WPR. When you give to WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make all this great advice, these fascinating topics, and more possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take just a few minutes and make your gift.
And I want to remind you about that special offering today. Ask for the Food Bank Thank You Gift when you give $10 a month or more. Your donation to WPR will power essential news and quality entertainment, and your thank you gift will provide hunger relief to people in your community. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I find Wisconsin Public Radio to have such a great variety of information and music. It doesn't insult my intelligence. It's wonderful to listen to. I love the fact that there aren't commercials every 10 seconds. I love the fact that the volume isn't blaring in my face and making me crazy. It provides me with all the kind of nourishment that I need in order to go through my day. I'm Chris from Eau Claire, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for balanced issues and stories.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Sheila Shigley, and WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support. Your contribution might be $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose. It does make a difference for our entire community.
And giving to WPR is very easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
I had to walk down the hall to give my additional donation yesterday, and it was pretty quick and pretty easy. And I know that my donation is going to come back every day in the form of engaging programs, and yours will too. Show your support at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
If you're already a sustaining member of WPR making those ongoing donations, thank you so much. It's because of your reliable support that we are better able to plan for the future.
And this hour, our goal is 15 gifts, and we're getting right to the top of the hour. I want to thank, if you've already given, if you haven't, join in right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You make WPR possible when you do give, and we're going to have to go away here for a look at the news, but Lawrence McDonald's going to stay with us, and he'll be back after the news, and we'll talk some more about what we can do to save the planet. I know Lou in northern Wisconsin's waiting. Lou, hang in there. We will be back right after this news, but in the meantime, take this opportunity to make your gift right now. It's so important at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thank you. We'll be back right after the news. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about the book, Am I Too Old to Save the Planet? A Boomer's Guide to Climate Action. And none of us are too old. Lawrence McDonald, who's the author of that book, I think agrees with that. He's a former foreign correspondent, vice president of the World Resources Institute, climate activist. As we talk with Lawrence, join in. Let us know why you consider yourself a climate activist, perhaps. Why is saving the planet important to you, especially as you age? The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a call. Lou in northern Wisconsin, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hey.
Oh, did we lose Lou? Maybe her phone died. She was, I think, wanted to comment about teaching kids and grandkids about helping the environment and sort of an education. I was thinking back to our earlier caller who was going back, had feeling guilty about flying back and forth. And one way to ease that guilt a little bit was when you're dealing with those grandkids or those kids is talking about the environment, Lawrence.
Yeah, I think, thanks, Lou, for the question. And I'm sorry that we weren't able to hear your voice for more than a little bit. Certainly teaching future generations is good, but I can't stress strongly enough that we are in an emergency. It's going to be too late. Some people say we missed the chance, it's up to the kids. If you really care about those little kids and you really want to protect their future, look at yourself and step out of your comfort zone and stretch yourself to see what else you can do, because the nature of warming is that we reach tipping points that cannot be reversed. So I love education. I was raised by educators. I fully agree about this. There's plenty that can be done, but I think that we also need to be looking at ourselves and seeing how we can use the incredible power and wealth of our generation. Just as with the WPR fundraising campaign, if each of us does something together collectively as a generation, we can make a difference.
You have a chapter, you have many chapters that relate to this, getting involved in organizations. I was intrigued by one of your chapters on, I think the title was, What's Faith Got to Do With It? And you write about faith-based organizations, which, of course, many boomers, others are a part of.
Yeah, faith-based, thanks for that question, Larry, and thanks again for having me on your terrific show. Faith-based climate advocacy can be very powerful. I have a friend who spends a lot of time on Capitol Hill, and the staffers there tell her when people from faith groups arrive, especially interfaith groups, they come in through a different door. The elected representatives, the staffers, they're accustomed to hearing from corporations, certainly. They're accustomed to hearing from secular environmental groups like my former employer, WRI, or the Sierra Club. But they recognize that people who are motivated by a deep faith and concern for the poor and concern for God's creation speak with a uniquely powerful voice. And I go through six U.S. religious groups organized by size, starting with Catholics, evangelicals, ecumenical, Protestants, the Black churches, Muslims, and Jews. I also discuss Native American teachings. Certainly indigenous people have been leaders in the movement. And for every one of those faith groups, there's sacred teachings that call upon us to care for God's creation and to care for the poor, who will be hurt first and worst by climate change. There's recent statements by top leaders, and there's an organization that is working to mobilize people. So whatever faith tradition you're part of, you can find a group that you can connect to. And that can often also, many of us later in life want to reconnect with the faith traditions of our childhood. Or maybe we're on a spiritual journey and we're not connected to the teachings of our childhood, but we want to find a new spiritual practice. And finding one that has an active climate advocacy piece can be a path in, again, to making new friends, having fun, bringing joy into your life.
Yeah, and I think it might, for those, and we've had some callers say that they're not accustomed to talking, but maybe they are accustomed to their church or their religious base. And it might be easier for them to approach it through their own faith.
That's absolutely right. One little known group that I mention in my book is called This Is What We Did, based out of Silicon Valley. They offer short courses in how to have a climate conversation for those who may feel they need guidance. Another thing is I found that my book, many people tell me that my book can be a conversation opener. It is the holiday season. After you have made your gift to WPR, buy yourself a present. Get a copy of my book, or maybe buy it for somebody you want to have the discussion with. A number of people my generation have actually bought copies to give it to their children and grandchildren and then to discuss it with them. And I think oftentimes young people, they know they're going to be living with the consequences of what we have done and failed to do. They love us. They don't want, for the most part, to throw it up in our face, but they do want to have these conversations. And for elders, I think, to open the space for an intergenerational conversation with our adult children or with our grandchildren or with nieces or nephews can sometimes be a gift because they are clearly worried about it and they don't know what to say. And my gift can be a tool that can help you have that conversation. My book, I should say.
And Dave and Toma have something that relates right to this, I think. Let's go there. Dave, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to get his opinion. I don't have a question, but I have friends, and they're avid supporters for climate change because they think that it's going to be the second coming of Christ, and they're looking forward to the end of the world. And I mean, their church, I know one church in particular that preaches that, and I'd like to hear his opinion on that.
Well, Dave, thank you for that question. I think it's a difficult one. I do say in the book that the section on evangelicals, I'm not an evangelical, but if I were an evangelical, I would have unique access to that community as Catherine Hayhoe does. if you're not part of that community and these are your friends, frankly, I would think carefully about whether or not that's the best use of your time. I think that polling shows that 70% of Americans, including 70% of boomers, believe it's an urgent priority. They want the government to do much more. I would say focus on those people and encourage them to become more active is a better use of time. That said, I recently learned about something called deep canvassing that was based on methods they used in California to pass marriage equality. And they have techniques for having conversations with people who have diametrically opposed views. It's careful listening, open inquiry, genuine curiosity, and reaffirming the best in people. I suspect that your friends who believe that it's the second coming, that they are also filled with love and compassion. Their way to express it is maybe different than yours and mine. So if you want to have that conversation, Google deep canvassing and watch this webinar they put up, and maybe it'll give you some tools. I'm not sure that it's how I want to spend my time, however. I'd rather spend my time persuading the 70% of us who know it's a big problem that we can do more. And in answer to the question, am I too old to save the planet? None of us is too old to help. None of us can do it alone, but none of us is too old to help.
What policy changes would you like to see for a unified front against climate change?
Well, that's a great question, Larry. I think that the poorly named Inflation Reduction Act, many of your listeners will know that that's really landmark climate legislation. It focuses a lot on increasing supply of renewable energy, providing subsidies for things like heat pumps, building mass transit, providing charging stations. All of that is very good. And we should demand that our states get their share of that money and use it. But the problem we're facing is not too little renewable energy. The problem we're facing is too much emissions, and we need a rapid end to the fossil fuel industry. I happen to believe that Citizens Climate Lobby has the right idea, that a substantial and steadily rising tax on carbon emissions would engage and let loose the power of the market to solve that. It's not very popular on the left. I'm generally consider myself a progressive and even a radical. Many on the left are suspicious of market mechanisms, but I think that putting a price on carbon is one of the missing pieces that we need to do. There are plenty of other policy prescriptions, but I think that the question that you're asking, Larry, is the right one. How do we rapidly transition our energy system? I'll go on a limb here. I would say if we had the political will, we should nationalize the oil companies and wind them down. They're sitting on trillions of dollars in ill-gotten wealth. They're investing that wealth in more fossil fuel extraction. They're doing that at the expense of all of us, but especially poor people and young people. And they shouldn't be allowed to do that. Now, we don't currently have the political will for that. We might never have political will. Let's start with a significant and regularly increasing carbon tax, because as long as these fossil fuel companies are calling the shots in our country, we will not be able to address the problem.
Michael in Wauwatosa will give you a chance to join in. Thanks for calling, Michael.
Hi, I just wanted to make the comment and ask your guest for his input. I think that the big elephant in the room is overpopulation. I think, you know, that all the economies are based on growth, and growth means more people and more people consuming more and more and more. And nobody talks about, hey, maybe you shouldn't have X amount, so many kids, especially if you can't afford them. And, you know, I think, you know, the bottom line is there's too many people on the planet, and we have to provide for them and use up all these resources. And, you know, there should be talk like there was in the 70s, I can recall, that overpopulation was an issue. And then suddenly it just dissipated and disappeared.
That was Paul Ehrlich, I believe, was the population bomb. But comment, Lawrence.
Michael, I agree with you. Population is a serious issue. And you mentioned the endless growth economies. We clearly need to transition our economies to a circular economy that doesn't rely on endless extraction and consumption. That said, I think that population is a difficult topic for those of us who are already affluent and maybe made the choice to have zero, one, or only two children, to talk to people who have more children about a very personal choice. It's politically fraught, and there's also elements of race and historical racism in this. For affluent white men like me to talk to poor female people of color in the developing world about y'all should have less babies is not a conversation that I particularly relish. And science shows, research shows that women will control their fertility when two things exist. One is access to education, and the other is certainty that their children will grow to adulthood. So Bangladesh has, as you know, a very low standard of living. Some people have thought population will only come down when we're all urbanized and high income. That's not what we're seeing in Bangladesh. We're seeing that very poor women who have access to education and certainty that their children will grow up. Of course, access to contraception is important as well, but they'll figure that part out for the most part. So reducing, it seems kind of counterintuitive, but traditional medical and development aid support that reduces infant mortality actually reduces population, because nobody wants to have 10 kids. They're having 10 because they want to be sure that at least two or three of them make it to adulthood.
Michael, thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. And Lawrence, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. It's you have written a blueprint for us of what we can all do. In fact, it's a Boomer's Guide to Climate Action is the subtitle. The title, Am I Too Old to Save the Planet? It's been a pleasure talking with you, and I hope we have a chance to do it again. Thanks, Lawrence.
Thanks for having me on the show, Larry, and I urge everybody to make that gift to WPR.
Lawrence McDonald, he said he was going to make a gift to WPR. That's pretty darn nice. What about you? Here, Sheila Shigley's back with me, nodding her head in agreement. You can set WPR up for success in 2024 with your gift during this year-end member drive, and maybe you've already given this year. Maybe you're making ongoing monthly gifts. Today wouldn't be a bad day to make a special year-end gift for the service you rely on all year long. Just take you a couple of minutes at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And thanks to Lawrence and his generosity, we only need to get 24 gifts now by 1 o'clock. This goal is set up to make sure that we'll be in a great position to pay for the service you value in the months to come.
So let's meet that goal. It happens one gift at a time, and let's start with yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And the Larry Mueller Show focuses on how to make your life better every day, whether it's practical advice on topics that affect your community, wildlife issues, so much more. Larry talks about Wisconsin wildlife, interesting things going on at the university and in the state, about health issues, consumer protection, and even sports. You make the show possible when you join in the conversation. And with your financial support, your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 keeps the show going.
And today you can provide hunger relief for your area. Ask for the food bank thank you gift when you give $10 a month or more. Thanks for making a difference for your neighbors and the WPR programs you love at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given before, start a tradition right now. Make a gift to the station you've enjoyed during 2023 and that you know you'll rely on in 2024. Your donation to WPR is tax deductible and helps keep this great resource available to everyone. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You have become a regular listener to Wisconsin Public Radio, so you took that a really important first step. Now take the next step and become a financial supporter.
That is an important step because WPR relies on listener support, and it's easy to donate. Just decide how much you'd like to give. Say $10 a month or $120 a year is a great starting point. Then make your gift. It'll take just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What are the qualities of a good friend?
A good friend is always there for you.
Good friends are dependable, honest, they tell good stories, they're a lot of fun.
A good friend is someone that you can learn from, that you can rely on, that's consistent, brings you joy, a partner in your life.
A good friend is reliable and always there for you. They push you and try and help you grow. They don't just tell you what you want to hear, but they tell you what you need to hear.
Just like you can count on a dear friend, you can count on Wisconsin Public Radio for trustworthy news, engaging stories, and high-quality entertainment. And like any good friendship, WPR relies on you in return. Your financial support makes the essential service you trust and value possible. Your gift now really makes a difference. Here's how to give.
You can give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution during our year-end member drive. Larry Mueller here with Sheila Shigley. Listener support's our biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift of $10 a month or maybe $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it really has an important impact.
Supporting WPR right now is a great thing to do with a few minutes of your time, and it really is just a few minutes. I always like to point out that I think Norman Gilliland clocked in at 1 minute and 45 seconds the last time he made his gift, so it's a pretty streamlined process at this point. All we need is your name, contact info, how much you'd like to donate, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe giving $1 a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, $1 a day is a great value. It's less than a cup of coffee or a soda, probably less than a gumball at this point, or a day of cell phone service.
$1 a day comes out to $30 a month, and you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or maybe on your charge card. Make that gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
There's so many important and interesting issues covered on WPR. You rely on these discussions, and that's why your gift during our year-end member drive is so important.
It is indeed, and here we are coming up to the, the bottom of the hour, and I want to put in a big thanks to everyone who has contributed and to everyone who listens to this program. We have a great team of people here, and we love hosting the show and putting the show together, and I'm pretty sure you like listening or you wouldn't be listening right now. I want to thank you so much for listening, and I want to thank you so much if you're able to support us with a donation. It's easy to do. We've said it a million times, but here it is again. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Your gift, very powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for listening.